As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Monday, July 11th. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and you can find me, as always, on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. This is a Sports Ethos presentation, and if you haven't already, go to our website at sportsethos.com. Check out our volume or high volume of podcasts, articles, updates, daily information you can get for free. And you can also check out some of our packages. I'm part of the wagering group. You can get our wager pass for $15 a month. And we have more than made you money above that in the last few months. Going to get handicapping on all the major sports. Right now, it's obviously a baseball focus with some tennis. Our guy Fisher has been doing a great job on tennis with Wimbledon wrapping up, but he'll be on to the next tournament soon. And you can get some Aussie rules football. We're also ramping up our baseball and football content. And for right now, we've got a couple great podcasts. You can get our MLB Today podcast by Joe Arrico on Twitter. He's at JoeArrico99. That's O-R-R-I-C-O-99. Does a daily baseball fantasy and daily fantasy podcast. But I think a lot of it is relevant to wagering as well. Gives some great information. He's doing a great job on that. And then on fantasy football, we have JP Stico on Twitter. He's at JPSTICCO. He does our Fantasy Football Today podcast, which is going about 3 days a week. Doing a great job now breaking. He's in the midst of breaking down all the teams and divisions and more of a fantasy angle, but now he's breaking down team win totals and what he likes there. So a lot of betting angles that he's starting to hit as well. So I highly recommend you check out both those guys. Doing a great job. And as here at Sports Ethos, we're really expanding our product lineup. And I think as the summer rolls on and we get into the fall, you're going to see some fantastic content, obviously in baseball. And then we're going to expand more into fantasy football, wagering, college, NFL, college basketball, NBA, obviously in the NHL gets going in the fall. You're going to get all that. So lots going on. And if you want more information, just hit me up on Twitter. Again, it's at Doug_Reed34, R-E-I-D 34. And happy to chat there. So today in baseball, the only sport on the go really for us, 10 games, so a medium slate. I had a real trouble with this slate today. Didn't really see anything that jumped out at me. So instead, I jumped to a few props, just some interesting plays, probably put a half unit on them instead of a full unit, but something worth looking at. There's always something to find, especially when you have 10 games. We start out early at 2:10 in the East, the first game of the doubleheader between the Tigers and the Royals. We get... For the Tigers, we get Michael Pineda on the hill, the righty, and we get righty Brad Keller on the bump for KC. You can get the Tigers at +115 on the road. The home Royals at -135. Total here is 8.5. And you can get the Royals on the run line at +155. Game's pretty much a stay away from me. Pineda comes in 32 1/3 innings, 3.62 ERA, 1.18 whip. Keller 90 2/3 innings, 4.37 ERA, 31 walks, way too many walks, 59 strikeouts, not really getting a lot of whiffs, and a 1.33 ERA. I was looking at potentially taking Pineda's prop for the out totals at 14.5. So basically, if you can get the five innings, he hits that, but it was down to like -170, 180. So can't do that. I don't really like a side. I would probably, if I had to, lean to the Tigers at +115 in the money line. But their offense is just so inept. Day game, going to be a hot day in Kansas City, but big ballpark. Don't really trust either of these offenses. Don't really trust either pitcher either. So stay away from me. The next game is in Miami, where we have another Keller on the mound for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh throws their righty Mitch Keller, and the Fish counter with their lefty Trevor Rogers. You can get Pittsburgh at plus 140 in the money line. You can get the home favored Marlins at minus 160. Total here is 7.5, and you can get the Marlins at at plus 130 on the run line. 7.5 would indicate a pitcher's duel, and I think this is anything but. I think this is more of an inept offense duel, just like the Tigers-Royals game before. So if anything, I would maybe look to the over. Pittsburgh's bullpen is horrendous. Miami can't seem to figure out much to bridge their starters to the end of the game either. So I could see this game being low scoring to start, but maybe a few runs later being scored. I'm also looking – I was looking at the Trevor Rogers numbers, some numbers for him maybe to get a strikeout prop or an outs prop, and I'm probably leaning to his outs prop. His strikeout right now, I see it is over 4.5 at minus 150. He hasn't been striking out a lot of guys. Well, 67 strikeouts in 72 and two-thirds innings. And I think he's better than he's pitching. He has to start to regress back to the norm. His year this year has been horrendous. 72 and two-thirds innings, 5.57 ERA. Now, I think his FIP is more like about 4.5, so maybe a run better, but still poor. 1.57 whip, 36 walks, 67 strikeouts. I'm just not sure he gets enough volume to get those strikeouts. So instead, I'm looking at his out prop. So 15.5, and I can get that at plus 130. So basically, he has to go 5 1/3 innings to hit that prop. Now, when I pull up his numbers, he has not hit that very much this season. However, he's going up. I think they're extending his pitch count a little, getting him closer to 90, mid-90s. He's gone 4 2/3, 5 innings, 4 1/3, 5 innings, 3 2/3, 5 innings in his last number of outings. So not pitching well. However, I think the key is here when going against the Pirates. So against the Pirates versus left-handers, which Trevor Rogers is, have a .220 batting average, 27th out of 30 teams in baseball. Have a .280 on-base percentage, the worst in baseball. And have a .378 slugging percentage, 22nd in baseball. They struggle against lefties. So I can see Keller here, Rogers surviving, going through a few innings and getting to that, over. So I read the wrong number, 15.5, so it basically has to go 5 1/3, is plus 110. I read Mitch Keller's at plus 130. So plus 110 over DraftKings here around plus 115. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on that. Trevor Rogers over 15.5 outs against the Pirates. I see him maybe giving up a few runs, but being able to last, keeping the game close, and getting to 5 1/3 innings and cashing that. Next game of the night, 7-10 in the East. We have the Red Sox in Tampa for a series. You get young righty Brian Bello on the mound for the Bo Sox and Josh Fleming on the mound for Tampa. Fleming, probably going to be a starter. That's pretty much what he's done all year. You get the Red Sox, basically coin flip here, minus 110. You can also get the Rays at minus 110. I see Fleming on one side. I see Josh Whistler on another side. Either way, I think it's an opener. I don't think either of these guys, maybe they both pitch. Maybe they open and the next guy's a follower. Total here 7.5, so low scoring to be expected, which when you look at these pitchers is a little surprising, but Tampa's offense has been struggling lately. Boston comes in off a big win last night, but they were a late game in New York. Now flying to Tampa is not a long flight, but traditionally, at least this year, those games on Sunday night have usually been followed up by usually high-scoring Sunday night games have been followed up by both teams the next day having a step back in offense. So maybe that's what the market is seeing. But again, 110 on both lines, 7 on both sides, 7.5 is the total. And you can get the home Rays at minus 170 in the run line at plus 1.5, and the Red Sox at minus 1.5, plus 150. Stay away from me. Don't really, Bello is a good prospect, but he's only pitched one game. And Fleming or Whistler, don't know who's starting. But regardless, it's an opener situation, which the Rays usually do fairly well in. So I would lean to them in that, but I just like Boston. And although they've slowed down a little in the last week or so, in the last 4 to 6 weeks, they've kind of woken up and they're a much better team than they started. Next game of the night in Cleveland, where we have an AL Central division series starting. Lance Lynn and the White Sox, the righty Lance Lynn against Cal Quantrill, the righty for Cleveland. You get the White Sox at minus 120, favorite on the road. The home Guardians at an even plus 100. Total here is 9. And you can get the White Sox at plus 140 on the run line. Another prop here. I don't know which way to go in this game. I lean the White Sox. Lynn has not been pitching well since he returned. However, you have to give a guy like that the benefit of the doubt. He's done it for his career. He's still, to me, kind of in preseason mode, being stretched out. And I think he will get his – I think he will find his rhythm again. He comes in with just 27 innings pitched, 5.33 ERA, 1.33 whip, 7 walks and 26 strikeouts. Quantrill, on the other hand, has been up and down, 88 and two-thirds innings, 3.86 ERA, 1.3 whip, 27 walks, 55 strikeouts. So not striking out a lot of guys. So I like the White Sox. I like Lynn. I would lean that way. But instead, what I chose to do is another prop here. I'm taking Lance Lynn at over 16 and a half outs. So he basically has to go 5 2/3 innings. And if he can get through that, if he can get through 15 outs is 5 innings. So if he can get to 5 2/3, he cashes that ticket. And I get it about minus 120. So I'm going to be on Lynn, hopefully a little longer for the game than he's been this year. He hasn't gone over that, I don't think, yet. Just pulling up his numbers. I mean, he's only started a handful of games. His recent outings, though, against Minnesota, 5 innings, got hit pretty hard, 6 hits, 5 earned runs. Against San Fran, 6 innings, 3 hits the game before that. Against Baltimore, 6 2/3, 6 innings, 5 earned runs. Against Toronto before that, 5 innings, 4 hits. So he's going in the 5 to 6 inning range. His pitch count in those 4 games, 91, 104, 109, 99. So welcome to Tony La Russaville as the manager of the White Sox. He's their old school guy. And in a case like this, I actually like it because he's going to let Lynn go 100 pitches. So I'm thinking Lynn can get to 6 innings. And if he does, he easily clears this out, this total prop for his outs of 16 and a half. So the next game of the night should be probably the best pitching matchup of the night. The Phillies are in St. Louis, and Phil start Aaron Nola. They're ready, and Miles Mikolas goes the ready for St. Louis is on the hill there. You can get the Phillies on the road at minus 125, the home cards at plus 105. Total here is 7.5, so obviously a pitcher's duel expected. You can get the Phillies on the run line at plus 135. I would lean the Phillies. I would lean Nola. I would look at maybe – I may look at the minus 125, but I can get that closer to 120, 118. I'd jump on it, but for now I'm going to wait until closer to game time. In this game, I'm also on an over prop. So just to quickly give you the pitching numbers, both guys have been pitching well this year. Nola comes in with 111 in the third innings, 3.15 ERA, 0.93 whip, just 15 walks and 120 strikeouts, so striking above a batter an inning. Mikolas comes in 106 innings, 2.72 ERA, 0.99 whip, 22 walks and 83 strikeouts. He's regressed a little lately, but still having a good year. And Nola, I think, has been pitching well. And the reason I'm on his outs prop, let me just pull it up here, over 18 and a half. So he has to go over six and a third innings to cash. And it's at minus 130. In his last few outings, in his last six outings, he's gone 7 innings or more. Prior to that, the seventh game, he went 6 innings. And four of his last six, he's gone over 100 pitches. And not one game has he gone below 97 pitches. So they're stretching him out, letting him go deep in games. St. Louis is a good offense. Neither of these teams have been on fire in this series this weekend. So I am expecting a low-scoring game. And he has the ability, obviously, to get some whiffs. But if he puts the ball in play, I think he should get to that prop easy. So I'm on the Aaron Nola over 18 and a half, so over 6 1/3 innings at minus 130. The next game, this is the pitcher's duel of the night. This should be a good game to watch. We have the Mets in Atlanta to face the Braves. You have Max Scherzer on the hill, the righty for the Mets in the second game back from his injury, and Max Fried, the lefty, on the bump for the Bravos. Scherzer and the Mets are the underdog here, plus 110 Freed and the Braves -130 at home. Total here is 7.5. And you can get the home Braves on the run line at +165. I don't really have a play in this game. I like Scherzer. I like the Mets. +110 is a decent price, but I believe Marte and McNeil are out for the Mets. Not 100% on that, but when I checked earlier, I think they're out of the lineup. And Max Fried has been pitching very well. When you look at these guys' numbers, Scherzer, 55 and two-thirds innings, 2.26 ERA, 0.88 whip, 11 walks, 70 strikeouts. So typical Max Scherzer. And Fried, 107 and a third innings, 2.52 ERA, 1.02 whip, 17 walks, and 100 strikeouts. Both of them doing really well. Should be a pitcher's duel. The 7.5 is enticing. The first five I see under, you can get under 3.5 -120. Might be some value on that. I might look to that. I like the 7.5. I just think Scherzer does give up home runs. If you listen to my show before, he does give up home runs. I mean, what he doesn't do is allow a lot of base runners. So his home runs tend not to be 2 or 3 run home runs. But if the Braves and their bats can get into one or two, I think the Mets can get the couple against Fried as well. And then all of a sudden we're getting closer to that number 7.5. So may look at that. I see 7.5 over +100, under -120. Might look to the first five number, but nothing official yet. The next game is kind of the anti-pitcher's duel. We've got Oakland in Texas to face the Rangers. Oakland throws Adrian Martinez, their righty, and Spencer Howard, the righty for Texas, on the other side of the hill. Now, Martinez only pitched 15 innings, even 6.00 ERA, even 1.40 whip. Howard just 10 and two-thirds. ERA just under 11 and a whip of just under 1.9. So the play for me on this game, I think I'm going to go the first five over 4.5. I see it at -120. So the lines, sorry, let me back up quickly. The lines, you can get the Oakland A's at +155 on the money line. You can get the Rangers -175. So big favorites for the Rangers, which I don't understand with Spencer Howard. I mean, this is clearly markets realizing Oakland struggles offensively. But to be -175, Spencer Howard on the line, on the hill, is a little surprising for me. Total here is 8.5, which makes sense. And you can get the home Rangers on the run line at +110. The play for me here is the first five over 4.5. I see it around -120, and I'm going to be on that. Even though Oakland's offense is weak, Spencer Howard is struggling and gives up a lot of hits, gives up a lot of runners. I mean, his whip's 1.88. I know, small sample size, but that's been the story of his major league career. Although brief, he gives up a lot of contact and a lot of base runners. I'm also looking at maybe Corey Seager over 1.5 total bases. I see it at -120. He's been hitting very well. He's got a home run, I think, in four of his last five games. He's got two hits in three straight games. And their offense is clicking a little. So against Martinez, I could see him getting, you know, if he gets a double or a home run, he cashes that easy, or two singles, he cashes that, or two hits, he cashes that. So considering that prop, but definitely going to be on the first five for the game over 4.5 at -120. Next game of the night, third last game, we will get to in a second, but quickly going to take a break and we'll come back and wrap things up in a second. All right, the second game of the doubleheader between Detroit and KC goes at 8:10 in the East. And I have Alex Faedo on the hill, the righty for Detroit, and Daniel Lynch, the lefty for Kansas City. Right now, I see lines of Tigers at +115, the home Royals at -135. Total here is 9, and you can get the Royals at +145 on the run line. I would actually look to Faedo and the Tigers here, catching the plus money. Faedo comes in 52 innings, 5.02 ERA, 1.54 whip, 21 walks, 42 strikeouts. So not good numbers. Lynch's are even worse. 63 and two-thirds innings, 4.95 ERA, the identical 1.54 whip, but 30 walks and 65 strikeouts. So he's striking out over a batter an inning, but he's walking almost half a batter an inning. Just giving up too much contact. Good prospect. I think he's going to be in the rotation for a few years. But struggling out of the gate. I think this line represents, again, Detroit's inept offense. The fact that Kansas City is favored by at -135. The total over 9, I'm not really going to be on that because you never know if the first game of a doubleheader who the lineup is. I'd have to wait and see where they sit. But if anything, I would lean towards the Tigers at +115. Next game of the night, we go out west for the Padres, and they're in Colorado to face the Rockies. San Diego sends lefty Sean Manaea to the hill, and Colorado sends Jose Urena, their righty, to the hill. You can get the Padres on the money line at minus 150, home Rockies at plus 130, and you can also get the Padres on the run line at an even plus 100. Total here is 12. Go figure. We're in Colorado. The angle on this game, though, I'm going to actually take Colorado first five team total over 2.5. I'm probably only going to put about half a unit on that, but I got it at minus 135 at DK at DraftKings. And the reason being is I think everybody knows Colorado hits better at home. But against lefties, just in general against lefties, Colorado's hitting 286, second best team in Major League Baseball. On base percentage, 346, the best team in baseball against lefties. Slugging percentage, 443, the fifth best team in baseball against lefties. Then at home, against any handed pitching, Colorado hits 280, the best offense, the best average in baseball. On base percentage, 346, the best in baseball. And their slugging is 456, second best at home, I think behind only the Jays. So they hit well at home. They hit great against lefties. Now, they will be missing Chris Bryant, who I believe is on paternity leave. And CJ Krohn sat out yesterday after getting hit in the wrist in a game on Saturday. So he is TBD. So that definitely puts a dent in their offense. I mean, Bryant hasn't been there all year, but he's hit well in the last few games since he's been back. And Krohn is a monster at home. However, I just think the way Manaea has been pitching lately, I think he's a very good pitcher, but he's been struggling lately. And Colorado hits great at home. So to pull up Manea's numbers on the season, 88 in the third innings, 4.18 ERA, 1.23 whip, 35 walks, 92 strikeouts. But more recently, when I dig down a little deeper into Manea's games, he against Seattle last time out, 3 1/3, 8 hits, 4 earned runs, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts. Before that, at Arizona, 6 innings, 3 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. Game before that, also against Arizona, but at home, 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. At the Cubbies, 4 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. So not terrible numbers, but not great numbers. So he's not pitching like he had been earlier in the year. He's going against an offense that is great at home and is great against lefties. So will Colorado win? I don't know. Plus 130, maybe some value. The total of 12, that's a little too high even in Coors for me to touch. But I do like their first five team total over 2.5. I like to get them, for a few runs early. Last game of the night is in San Francisco, where we have the D-backs in town from Arizona. Merrill Kelly, they're ready on the hill versus Alex Cobb, ready for San Fran. You can get the D-backs at plus 135 in a money line. You can get the home Giants at minus 155. Total here is 7.5. You can get the home Giants at plus 130 on the run line. 7.5 is a little low for me, I would think, because neither of these pitchers have been pitching all that great. Merrill Kelly seems to have righted the ship a little, but in 97 in the third innings this year, 3.42 ERA, 34 walks, 80 strikeouts, 1.23 whip. Alex Cobb's been very inconsistent this year, 57 innings, 4.74 ERA, 1.37 whip, 16 walks and 59 strikeouts. So just giving up a little, he's giving up a little too much contact, too many base runners. And Kelly, as I said, has been fairly consistent. Though both these offenses, especially the Giants, really slowed down lately. Hence the minus, hence the 7.5 on the total. I'm not on either side here. I don't really like backing Kelly and Cobb. I think he's a good pitcher. If anything, I would maybe back them at minus 155. That's just too much. And even plus 130, I don't really want to back the Giants on a run line at home. So stay away from me. So, but medium game slate today. 10 games. Hope you enjoyed the breakdown. Some props in there, some totals, some first fives, and definitely lots of things to be played and hopefully some money to be made. Before I go, though, I do want to remind you about our partners at Manscaped. If you haven't already, check out manscaped.com for up to 20% off your order and free shipping. When you check out, use the code HOOPBALL20. That's HOOPBALL20. And like I said, you can get 20% off your order and free shipping. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any comments, thoughts, questions, or you want to get in touch with some of our other guys in the wagering group, find out more about Sports Ethos, hit me up on Twitter. It's Doug_Reed34. Always happy to chat, answer any questions, and help you out. So enjoy the night, enjoy the diamond, and let's make some money.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.